What did the story of the Lord of the Rings look like from Gandalf's perspective? What did he know and when, and how did that affect what he did? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover The Lord of the Rings, The Song of Ice and Fire, and much more. Welcome. Gandalf is clearly one of the key protagonists in The Lord of the Rings. Indeed, this was a struggle that Gandalf had been waiting for and expecting for millennia, having been sent with the other Istari around the year 1000 of the Third Age, with the specific purpose of supporting the free peoples of Middle-earth against Sauron. Although, when he arrived, no one knew where Sauron was, or the Ring, or when or how the next confrontation might take place. Unlike the other Istari, he never settled in any one place, instead roaming throughout the Westerlands. During this time, two things came to the fore. His growing concern about the evil and darkness emerging in southern Mirkwood, and his attachment to the Shire and Hobbits. He eventually figured out that the mysterious necromancer in southern Mirkwood was Sauron, and eventually persuaded the White Council, well, Saruman, that they should attack him there. Sauron, however, escaped down to Mordor, and the countdown to that final confrontation started. In those years between the events of The Hobbit and the start of the events of The Lord of the Rings, Gandalf was mostly information gathering, and he was getting more and more concerned about Bilbo and his ring. We don't know exactly when he started trying to piece together the puzzle, but we can completely understand why he did think of it as a puzzle. Which ring was it that Bilbo had? Could it possibly be the One Ring? How on earth had it got deep under the Goblin Kingdom in the Misty Mountains in the possession of Gollum, and then just fall into Bilbo's possession? That would just be preposterous luck. Was there any way of proving for sure, one way or another, if it was the One Ring? Gandalf dare not take it for himself, and was pretty sure no one else knew where it was, so secrecy. He spent a lot of time trying to trace the history of the ring, both from Isildur forwards and Bilbo backwards. He and, mostly Aragorn, hunted for and captured Gollum, learning his history, and Gandalf scoured through the ancient records of Minas Tirith to read about Isildur's experiences with the ring, crucially discovering that when it was hot, it showed those letters, the ring rhyme. He rushed back to the Shire to check, and yes, it was true. The ring that Bilbo had stumbled upon and kept hidden was the most powerful and important magical item in the land. How had it happened? Well, Gandalf seems to have come to the conclusion that it was Providence. Eru, Ilúvatar, subtly intervening in the world. Bilbo was meant to find the ring. In any event, this was extraordinary good fortune, and Gandalf was determined to seize on it. Gandalf thought, probably rightly, that Rivendell was the best, safest place for it to go in the immediate term, and he valued the wisdom of Elrond in deciding what to do with it. There's a sense of irony here, by the way. This was where Isildur was trying to take the ring when he was ambushed and it fell from his finger all those years ago. He was taking it there to seek Elrond's advice about what to do with it. It completed its journey to Rivendell, just 3,000 years later, via the riverbed of the Anduin, the Misty Mountains, the Lonely Mountain, and the Shire. And yes, Bilbo had it when he stopped off at Rivendell on his way back from the Lonely Mountain, but Elrond and Gandalf seemed far too focused then on plotting and planning about what to do about Sauron to notice. Anyway, back to our main story. Gandalf judged that stealth was probably still the best approach, and agreed to Frodo's cover story about moving to Crick Hollow. Gandalf was planning to go with him, but the plan now gave Gandalf a couple of months. He wanted to stay close, but he wasn't really one for sitting still, so he set off on a series of short journeys. Firstly, to get Aragorn up to speed with the plan. He met him at the Sarn Ford at the edge of the Shire, then wandered a little further afield, gathering information. There were dark tidings coming from the south and east, and he wanted to know what was going on before they set off. It was while he was doing this that Radagast ran into him near Bree, telling him that Saruman wanted to see him. This left Gandalf with a bit of a dilemma. Saruman was the head of his order and very knowledgeable, and Gandalf didn't know at that time that Saruman had turned. But if he answered the summons, he wouldn't be able to finish off his own information gathering, and as Isengard was a long way south, he also wouldn't be able to get back in time to set off with Frodo. He decided that he did need to go, but asked Radagast to send him information at Isengard, and wrote a letter to Frodo urging him to leave soon, asking Barliman to send it on. Barliman obviously forgot. Thankfully, Gandalf's earlier trip to see Aragorn meant that Frodo and co. weren't alone once they reached Bree. We know what happened at Isengard. It confirmed Gandalf's fears that Saruman was no longer on their side, that he was building an army, and that Sauron was on the move again, and lots more. Gandalf was kept prisoner for 2 months there before Gwaihir rescued him. Now, at this point, Gandalf will have been very aware that if he'd stuck to the plan, Frodo would have already set off, and also that the Black Riders were hunting for the Shire, so he needed to get there quick and find Frodo, who was hopefully somewhere en route to Rivendell. He checked if Gwaihir could fly him there. He couldn't, so he thought quickly and asked to be dropped off at Edoras, which was a little way in the wrong direction, but they had the best horses in Middle-earth, so if he could use one of them, it was probably still quicker. He got Shadowfax and learned of Theoden's condition. There was no time to deal with that then. His priority was to get to Frodo. So after he had caught Shadowfax, or Shadowfax had allowed himself to be caught, he rode as hard as he could to the Shire. It took just 6 days, an astonishing speed. This must have been quite a concerning time for Gandalf. He didn't know where Frodo was, who was with him, whether the ring was safe or captured by the enemy. And when he got to the Shire, he learned from Gaffer Gamgee that Frodo had left several days earlier with the Black Riders in hot pursuit. The next few days were basically Gandalf trying desperately to track the hobbits, and when he didn't know exactly where they were, following the trail of the Black Riders. He went to Crick Hollow, and then the Prancing Pony at Bree, where he learned, much to his relief, that they were now with Aragorn, and then he actually overtook them in going to Weathertop. They were walking and trying to be stealthy, and he was just charging around on Shadowfax. Inevitably, Gandalf's lack of stealth drew the attention of the ringwraiths, particularly when he went charging straight towards where they all were. They felt the coming of his anger, we read, and if we were ever in any doubt of the strength of Gandalf, what happened next should put us right. He fought all 9 of the Nazgûl all through the night when they were strongest, and emerged unharmed. Aragorn and the hobbits even spied the light and fire from that battle from miles away. Come the morning, Gandalf decided that his best course of action was now actually not to try to find Aragorn and the hobbits. He was attracting too much attention, and their best hope was stealth. Instead, he left a mark at Weathertop for Aragorn, so he knew he'd been there, and set off away from there, hoping to draw some of the 9 after him. 4 of them did follow him for a while, which was why there were only 5 when the hobbits reached there. Anyway, Gandalf then headed to Rivendell and waited for the Ringbearer to get there too. Gandalf at the Council of Elrond cuts an interesting figure. He clearly doesn't want to tell everyone what must be done, but also he very obviously is of the opinion that there really is only one sensible course of action. Thankfully for him and the Free Peoples of Middle-earth, Elrond agrees. The Fellowship is formed, and Gandalf is asked to lead the party southeast. Once more, stealth and secrecy would be their approach rather than sheer force of arms. Of course, the Fellowship wasn't in complete agreement about what to do with the ring, and that would have implications later in the story, but for now Gandalf knew that everyone was at least signed up to head as far east as the Anduin River. The thing he had to decide now was how to get there, because between where they were and where they wanted to be, there was a massive mountain range, the Misty Mountains, and the only safe route through there was through the Gap of Rohan, but that would take them right past Isengard, which he was committed to not doing. Hence his attempt first to take the Fellowship over the Misty Mountains via the Redhorn Pass, an attempt which failed, then under the Misty Mountains via Moria. Gandalf knew that this was a dangerous move, and Aragorn rather prophetically warned him directly about what would happen to him if he went in, but he still judged it preferable to trying to sneak past Saruman's army. Gandalf had been through Moria before, albeit crossing from the other direction, so he felt confident he could guide the Fellowship across with a little help from Gimli, but he was still a bit wary. He knew something of what lurked in the dark there, so caution. Enter Pippin and his stone-dropping ways, a flood of orcs and the Balrog. Once he saw it, Gandalf knew exactly what it was, and that it was a foe only he out of the Fellowship had any chance against. So he stood and faced it, memorably reeling off the reasons why the fire that he represented was more powerful than the Balrog's, and ordering him back to the Shadow, basically a form of elevated Middle-earth smack talk. Not that it did much good. We know what happened next. Gandalf and the Balrog fought all the way down to the depths of the earth, then all the way back up through tunnels and chambers and up the endless stair to the top of the mountain, before Gandalf, with the last of his strength, cast down the Balrog and himself died. Just as an aside, Gandalf's last instruction to the Fellowship, "Fly, you fools," was just him urging them to get a move on and get out of there, not a suggestion that they can use the eagles or anything like that. Returning to Gandalf's perspective, though, of him lying on the mountaintop at this point, he is a bit vague for understandable reasons. He recalls that, "Then darkness took me, and I strayed out of thought and time, and I wandered far on roads that I will not tell. Naked I was sent back, for a brief time, until my task is done, and naked I lay upon the mountaintop. And so at the last, Gwaihir the Windlord found me again, and he took me up and bore me away." Reading between the lines of what he says here and elsewhere, Gandalf died and was sent back by Eru Ilúvatar himself, having been levelled up to complete his task. It's clear that at this point his perspective shifted. Indeed, he seems to have even forgotten that he was called Gandalf until reminded of it. He was Saruman, as Saruman should have been, the head of his order. Gwaihir took him to Lothlórien, where Galadriel healed him, and somehow, we're never told exactly how, he makes his way to Fangorn Forest, where he meets Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli. It was during that mysterious period where we don't know exactly where he is, that he, for it was surely him, intervened to shout at Frodo magically from afar when he was wearing the ring and sat on the high seat at Amon Hen and the Eye of Sauron was burning. Frodo heard a voice that said, "Take it off! Take it off! Fool, take it off! Take off the ring!" Which sounds very like Gandalf, fool being his favourite affectionate insult. So Gandalf was then back with some of the Fellowship, and knew what had happened to the others. What was he to do now? Well, his plans seemed to be the same as before, rely on stealth to get the ring to Mount Doom, but his role had changed. He was no longer guiding them. He had to leave that now to fate or providence, as he probably viewed it. Instead, he needed to coordinate bringing down Saruman, a lesser but still huge threat, protecting the Free Peoples as much as possible, and drawing Sauron's attention away from the hobbits creeping slowly towards Mordor. We should note in passing that although Gandalf as Gandalf the White was a lot more powerful, he still kept his commission to support and advise those opposed to Sauron rather than lead them, and rarely used the full extent of his enhanced powers. What followed for Gandalf was a frantic few weeks. His first priority, to stop Saruman, meant getting Rohan back on its feet. In truth, Gandalf may well have been powerful enough at that time to walk straight up to Orthanc and break Saruman's power then and there himself, but he was there to support others in doing that, and bring more allies into play, so he rode first for Edoras, where he healed Théoden of Grima's influence. He then advised Théoden to fortify himself at Helm's Deep, the most defensible position in Rohan, while Gandalf himself scoured the Westfold for the remnants of Erkenbrand's force, which had been scattered in the Second Battle of the Fords of Isen. He brought them to Helm's Deep just in time, then took Théoden and the other key leaders to Isengard, where Gandalf gave Saruman the opportunity to repent and surrender. Saruman obviously refused, so he commissioned Treebeard to stay there guarding him in his tower. Astonishingly, all that took just 3 days. What was even more astonishing was the speed at which he then turned around and, riding Shadowfax, made it to Minas Tirith. He arrived there on the morning of the 9th of March. Why Minas Tirith, and why did he take Pippin with him? Well, Pippin, being Pippin, had looked into the Palantir at Isengard. Of course he had. And Sauron had seen him. So there was no time to waste. As we read, "That dark mind will be filled now with the voice and face of the hobbit, and with expectation. It may take some time before he learns his error. We must snatch that time. We have been too leisurely. We must move. The neighbourhood of Isengard is no place now to linger in. I will ride ahead at once with Peregrine Took. It will be better for him than lying in the dark while others sleep. So Gandalf is already thinking ahead. He is trying to use this moment, however unplanned, to keep Sauron's attention, because Sauron now appears to think that Pippin is the hobbit with the ring. Taking Pippin to Minas Tirith will make Sauron focus on Minas Tirith, not any other hobbits who may or may not be trying to sneak into his realm at that very moment. And there's a bit of compassion here, too, I think, keeping Pippin away from the Orthanc stone and temptation. By now, as you've seen, Gandalf has completely changed gear. He is no longer relying on his own stealth and secrecy. Quite the opposite. He's relying on Sauron knowing who and where he is to draw his attention. In fact, the very next day after he arrives at Minas Tirith, he rides out to rescue Faramir from the Nazgûl, showing his new powers and strength in a very ostentatious way. Sauron will have been paying attention. Faramir told Gandalf that Frodo and Sam were still alive, so Gandalf knew his plan was working. He just had to keep Sauron's attention and trust in Providence to guide and guard the Ringbearer. Sure enough, that very day Frodo saw Sauron's armies start marching on Minas Tirith. When they got there, it was Gandalf who led the defence. Denethor was busy building himself a funeral pyre. Gandalf faced down the Witch King at the gate to the city, brought hope to the Gondorian soldiers by his very presence, and saved Faramir's life again when Denethor tried to kill him. Eowyn, Merry, Aragorn, Imrahil, and many others rightly get the glory for turning a dire situation into an unexpected victory, but make no mistake, Minas Tirith would have fallen but for Gandalf. So, what next? Well, there was the small matter of regrouping after the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. This may have been a victory, but it was a very, very costly one. Crucially, though, Gandalf definitely had Sauron's attention, and he needed to keep it. So he persuades Aragorn and the other commanders to do the one thing that would be guaranteed attention, march on Mordor. To be clear, there are no battle tactics here. Gandalf is very upfront that they would almost certainly be marching to their doom, but if he and Aragorn, who had by this time stared down Sauron through the Palantir and declared himself to be the heir of Isildur, and Pippin, who Sauron probably still thought had the ring at least one point, if all of them could march to Mordor with an army at their back, it would certainly make Sauron think. Gandalf didn't calculate that Sauron would feel threatened by the army coming towards him. He had them hugely outnumbered and Mordor was well fortified, but that he would assume that they had been driven forward by the ring in a lust for power. Sauron couldn't imagine anyone wanting to destroy the ring, only use it for their own advancement, and Gandalf knew that. So the much-diminished host of the West set forth, purposefully, but not too fast. They were trying to buy time, after all, and even at the Black Gate, Gandalf still played for every minute he could get. He got the mouth of Sauron to set out Sauron's terms of surrender, even though he had no intention of accepting them. And when presented with the bits of kit stolen from Frodo and Sam, Gandalf demands to see this prisoner that they claim to have. But talking could only ever get them so far. The Black Gate opened, Sauron's forces were revealed, and the final battle began. It's hard to know exactly how much Gandalf knew of the exact timing of what was happening with Frodo and the ring, but by the very end, he did seem to understand that his plan had worked. He didn't engage personally with the battle, instead standing, we are told, white and cold on a hilltop, and no shadow fell on him. Then, as if to his eyes some sudden vision had been given, Gandalf stirred, and he turned, looking back north where the skies were pale and clear. Then he lifted up his hands and cried in a loud voice ringing above the din, "The eagles are coming." The eagles, remember, are Tolkien's bringers of eucatastrophe, sudden, unexpected saving from doom. Just moments later, deep in Mount Doom, the ring is destroyed. The host of the West see the Dark Tower crumble. While everyone is staring in disbelief, Gandalf declares aloud that the realm of Sauron is ended. The Ringbearer has fulfilled his quest. Everything had ultimately gone according to Gandalf's plan. Had he known it all in advance? Well, Not fully, but remember what he said all that time ago about Gollum. My heart tells me that he has some part to play yet, for good or ill, before the end. And when that comes, the pity of Bilbo may rule the fate of many, yours not least. Gandalf was right, of course. It was Bilbo's pity that won the day. That, and perhaps a touch of providence from Eru Iluvatar. After that, it was a series of long goodbyes for Gandalf. He helped out in his own way, but his mission in Middle-earth was complete. There is one detail about this last period of time for Gandalf in Middle-earth that I love, though. Rather than escort the hobbits all the way home to the Shire, Gandalf takes the time to visit Tom Bombadil. Exactly who Tom Bombadil is remains a mystery in Tolkien's world, but it's clear that on one level he exists at the level of just being, not doing, being, enjoying life and nature and good company. As Gandalf puts it, "I am turning aside soon. I am going to have a long talk with Bombadil, such a talk as I have not had in all my time. He is a moss-gatherer, and I have been a stone doomed to rolling, but my rolling days are ending. And now we shall have much to say to one another." Finally, Gandalf can just enjoy Middle-earth. As a Maia, that's why he descended to Arda in the first place, out of fascination with and love for Arda. When we think of those who got deserved rewards and honours for their role in the events of The Lord of the Rings, we often forget Gandalf. But I like to think that this was his reward. After centuries of tireless, thankless work on a mission he actually never wanted to go on in the first place, finally he can rest, he can enjoy life. And getting on to Círdan's ship in the Grey Havens, finally he can go home. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of this screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.